Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the One Cell, One Light radio show with your host, Dr. Hildegard Stanninger, commonly known as Dr. Hildy. And before I introduce our guest, I want to tell you that our media director is in sunny Mexico City where he is broadcasting this show. So it just shows with technology you can go around the world, as we well know. And Mexico City is known from after Hernan Cortes and the dividing of the city and creating after the Aztec warriors and Montezuma's children, that it became Mexico City and part of the Spanish realm. But at the same time, one of those direct descendants was a very famous, one of the leading male movie stars in the silent screen world, after Rudolph Valentino, was Ramon Navarro, direct descendants of the princesses of Montezuma. And what an introduction to my special guest and long-term colleague, Mr. George Morris, who shared with us on several shows back in reference to epigenesis. And we're going to go into, it's time for the world to choose health now. Don't you think so, George? Welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Hildy. yeah, basically, as you said, we did a presentation here a few months back, and basically it was trying to help people understand that there was science behind these concepts that we were trying to put forth, that you can choose what you want to do about your health. And this time, hopefully, if we go ahead and if people are looking at the images that are on the web, they're going to go ahead and see a rotating set of images that hopefully goes ahead and touches them and makes them understand that there's something that they can do and that they need to do.
Right, and we want to also make an announcement. George and I agreed that during this particular show, both hours, the first and the second hour, any of our listening audience that can call into 602-753-1636, we will, our Richard will plug in so that we can field the questions and hopefully guide you through choosing the right health for now. And George, I know you've done many pioneering work in particle size counts and seeing it, and now that type of technology is coming into vogue out here in California, and you were instrumental in identifying the risk factors due to the particle size, and which I know that chemicals can be particles, and particles can be stimulated, meaning fat molecules, by chemicals. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, I guess you'd say I'm trying to go beyond that. What we're trying to do now is it's not that the science has changed. It's not that we're trying to go ahead and do things differently, but we're trying to go ahead and get people to apply that concept earlier in the disease process so that they don't get diseased in the first place. As you were talking about particle size, it's like particle size is a continuum. And if you have a disease process going on, your particle size is going to continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And what we want to do is be able to track the direction of these types of movement that we link to progressively diseased states. So
right.
that you don't have to wait until you've got the symptoms of disease to say that
I need
to do some type of correction. And I'm not a medical doctor, and so in this phone call, we're not going to give any kind of medical advice, because that would be inappropriate. But what we want to do is help people understand that
much of
what needs to happen is nutritional.
Right, that's a primary
factor. Much of what needs
to
happen is this, is their choices of how they live their life.
Right. I know if you make any, one is to get diagnosed with a disease or a disorder or say, my parents had it, I'm a risk factor that way. But if you look at to whatever your parents or grandparents and farther back in the ancestry were exposed to, a lot of that is stimulation into chronic diseases. Prime example, and I've said it before, is like the mycotoxin for penicillin that is a nephrotoxin, meaning a toxin for the kidney, and Polish heritage are prime examples of having that disorder. But with the technologies of that, they're not looking to see if that molecule of the mycotoxin is still continually going on through generations. As we know, it can be absorbed in eggs and semen and also in stem cells. You know, a new generation, that's why certain stem cells, when they get a pollution in it, or a chemical in it, will cause, or even viral, will cause what they call a teratoma, where it's like a little tumor forms. But there's many chemicals that even just cause fatigue, and from my side, and working with you for years, no one's really looking at that. But at the same time, if you look at what could be the variables, the environmental pollution or medications that you're continually taking that really may be doing something to alleviate a symptom but not turning it around, this can bioaccumulate in the body and thus just cut off natural absorption of oxygen and hurt the mechanisms within the cell or make them dysfunctional so that they can't protect yourself from not the disease, but just looking at inflammation imbalances. You might have a swollen wrist at the same time, a swollen ankle on the same time, but it might be that bioaccumulation. If that is removed, the swelling is gone, or the imbalance of the limbs.
I guess if one looks at those images as they go by, you see this thing, it says illness and wellness continuum. And basically what we're wanting to work with people and help them to understand and to take advantage of is that both health and ill health are not two separate states. They're a continuum. And this continuum allows you to go from a state of health into ill health, but also if you have adequate knowledge, you can go from ill health back to health. And what we want is we want people to identify that need for that movement back toward health earlier in the continuum, not when they get all these symptoms of disease, but when they have when they're just bordering around that idea of having a symptom that they can identify that says, "Hey, I'm just not feeling right." And if you can go ahead and identify that there's a problem at that time, that the alternative medical community, the herbalist, whoever, can come up with a solution for you, you're much better off than if you go ahead and you wait until you get into that diagnosed category, and then you're trying to go ahead and find a way to get back to good health. It's like having a car, and if you go ahead and you have this car and you're going to go out and buy one, and you're going to buy a used car, and you go ahead and you see this car that's been kept by this nice old couple, inside of the garage, and it's just been kept in immaculate condition, and it might be 20 years old. And you see this other one was just, the young guy, it at one point was in immaculate condition, but then it got given to the grandson. And the grandson has gone ahead and taken it to the drag strip and has done, any number of things to the car. Now, when you come along and you get one of those two, which one do you want? Do you want to go ahead and have the one that was kept in immaculate condition, or do you want the body that has gone ahead and been run down? And what we have to do is we have to choose that we want the immaculate condition for our human body, because that's what's going to provide us wellness, that's what's going to provide us longevity, and that's what's going to provide us that
foundation.
Yeah, the ability to go ahead and have good health in the future.
Right, because the good health is the result of taking care of your temple, your machine, your body, and putting it in balance. Because a lot of times you can have the right nutrition
the last time about the fact that science has improved, and that we do have the ability to go ahead and make these types of measurements. And this to let people know that the science we're talking about, I used back in 1974, when and we would classify that as like a first-generation clinical electrophoresis method. And those methods were then later gone ahead and evaluated by Dr. Jeffrey Bland. And he was the founder and president of Personalized Life Medicine Institute in Seattle. He's written a whole slew of books. And his problem was the same problem I had, and that was that the government came out with these diagnosis-related groupings, and these tests weren't listed within that list of things that were being paid for by insurance. And so he went ahead and he shifted to go to more genomic-type testing that looked like it was going to get covered. And I've stuck with looking for an ability to kind of monitor this really, really early changes that that affect people as far as from the prevention side and not from the disease treatment side.
Right, and it's looking at that spectrum, as you said, the continuum, because you just sometimes need a little change. Like if they have a symptom, I'll just give an example, like numbness and tingling of their hands when they're talking on the telephone, holding the receiver up. Yes, that can be from an electromagnetic field, or it also can be lack of the amino acids arginine and ornithine. And a simple test can be that if the symptom goes away when you take a bite of black licorice. But going to the next level, who was the first to introduce licorice was the Scythians, because they would use licorice root to reduce their amount of water intake when they were getting ready to do battles or go on long marches to foreign lands for battles, and they introduce the whole use of, licorice to the Greeks. So I find that now we're at science with all the different testing, George, that we can show not only genetically how to monitor it, but also the parameters like particle size, electrical charge within the body, looking at the channels, or even like with cholinesterase or anything. But there's different parameters, and I think the key with anyone, not only of going into a good health and having a good ground of it for now, is that you outline some kind of monitoring tool so that you can see the change within your body, so you know that you're getting better outside of just feeling better or getting worse.
When you talk about a monitoring tool, I mean, I first was introduced to the concepts of energetic medicine by Dr. John R. Christopher back in the 70s. And I was able to go ahead and people would do iridology, people would do foot reflexology. There were all of these types of methods that people would use to either monitor and see what's happening within the body or to try to influence it. And all of those methods were what we call subtle. It's not like you were going ahead and making a drastic change in the human body and therefore able to see a really manifest change. And so when we look at this ability to measure, this ability to see, it's like there are other methods. It's just that they all, in general, have not gained scientific acceptance. I mean, pulse testing. You can use testing. You can use
reflexology.
Right. Electrical type conductivity testing. But when you get back to the major portion of science and scientific opinion, there's no real agreement.
Right, and that's dependent on the
that
audience.
Those processes are actually giving you the result that you're claiming to have.
Right. And a prime example is like kinesiology, which you stated, muscle testing. It's used throughout a lot of healthcare providers that are practicing alternative modalities. But at the same time, it is developed as a machine for the National Truth Verification, which is used, in criminology which is in Palm Beach, to determine if someone is lying or anything. So I think it's like you said, in some areas that testing or that measurement is not acceptable or acceptable, and it's where sometimes the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing that, even with kinesiology.
And that was basically the problem I had with my testing, was that I couldn't get the government to approve it. Because in order for you to go ahead and see these types of sensitive changes, you can't be looking at some kind of national norm. You can't be going ahead and looking to try to compare the values that you have to the values of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go ahead and be looking at the person as their own personal reference. And that allows you to look at extremely subtle and minor changes, because what we call homeostasis, the normal functioning of a human being, very much of it is controlled by the mass of the size of organs that you have, as far as how much replacement has to happen in each one of these organs over time in order for them to go ahead and maintain themselves. They basically say that every 2 years your body replaces itself or something like that. And so you have this process of degrading and renewal that is going on, and that process creates what we call homeostasis, which is the a distribution of what your products are that are going ahead and being destroyed and rebuilt. So that if you have some type of disease process or inflammatory process, you wouldn't want to really call it disease because it's not disease at that point yet, but you have this abnormality happening, you're going to see a shift that, if you compare that back to your own personal information, is observable. But if you try to go ahead and compare it back to the normal, people say nothing's happening. You're still normal,
right?
And so that concept of using people as their own personal reference is the one the HRS wouldn't accept. They want everything compared back to some normal reference range.
Right.
And
the example, too, I've seen in doing a lot of work with thiophene and odorants that are in natural gases, when you have individuals that are exposed to it of different ethnic backgrounds or anything, meaning like Hispanics have more thicker cellular membrane, thus more SOD, versus black have more melanin, versus Caucasian have less. There is a relationship because I've seen, like one of the diagnosis, not diagnosis, but one of the symptoms is being acute glaucoma, you know, of the right eye, meaning that's an odd feature, meaning right eye glaucoma, and it's only temporary, but it's temporary because the gas made a mercaptan or a thiol in your glands within your ocular vision and face, you know, muscles or anything. But the measurement is unique, meaning they use ocular pressure, but at the same time, if you measure the amount of, say, poison or the chemical of, say, the thiophenes that were in the body, you could see the relationship as even to their particle size. Why I bring that up is because that whole thing of odorant gases, because natural gases, especially like the propanes, have no odor, so they use it as a safety measure, which is very important. But now they're looking at using thiophene DNA rings that are used as biosensors. So it's like, I wonder if you get exposed to that, the sensor, you know, the thiophene ring, if it's going to give you ocular, acute ocular right area glaucoma.
I guess that's a study you're going to have to do.
I know. I am doing it. We'll combine it with exposure.
That, to me, that sounds kind of medical. Okay.
I know. I like it. My dissertation was on the eyeball. I try to stay a long way away
from medical, Hildy.
No. It was, my dissertation was on the eyeball. I was the first to write about increased risk of cancer as a result of using contact lenses that were, you know, back then they used to take the contact lens, the soft lens, instead of blending the dye into the lens, they coated it, made it like a powder on the inside where the lens would go on. So that was azo dyes and everything, highly carcinogenic, and they would go on to the eye, and that was a direct route, you know, from the circulatory to the nervous system that way. So that was a long time ago. The other thing is, as you brought out, with it is so important to have your own individual baseline. I've done that for 30-some years with individuals with their cholinesterase, and EPA even says establish your baseline, get a test first, test blood test and serum, and then do your test again 3 weeks later. Thus, you're not exposed to the pesticide or the chemical or the particles. You know, now we know nanoparticles stimulate the increase in cholinesterase. But the thing is, so many people don't even do that to get the baseline, and then forget it if they don't know how to do the calculation of what is the percent inhibited versus non-inhibition, the function. And that test I love for plasma and red blood cell. But the thing is, the manufacturer of the leading test of doing the analysis, meaning what they would use in the labs, reagents, et cetera, they say like a 10,000 cutoff level, it's extremely high. But now the reference ranges keep going up on certain labs, and that, which is just because it's in the population exposure, it doesn't mean that they're not safe. So it's very important, I feel, all my adult life in this field of industrial talks and IH, that it needs to have the baselines.
Well, you can see that also with coronary artery disease, that you know, the amount of cholesterol they say that was, they just keep changing all of the parameters. They haven't. Whereas we could go ahead and we could really identify change in particle size based on a personal levels, that would help people. Right now, you still have tremendous numbers of people that one estimate that there's close to 70 million Americans who've got some form of cardiovascular disease going on. And that's because they claim that it's about a 10-year latency period between it manifesting and actually causing you some type of symptom. And the problem is that so for 10 years it's going on, and then you go to the doc and the doc says, oh yeah, you know, you're getting a blockage here. Why didn't they tell you that the year before?
Right, and
why didn't they tell you something 5 years before? Like, why don't you increase your amount of fish oil, or why don't you do this, or why don't you do that? It's because believe it or not, when you get to that end, then you fit into the medical system really well.
Right. And the thing is, Newton years ago in the 70s wrote in his classic Encyclopedia of Food, Nuts, and Fruits text, he wrote that the number one cause of arterial sclerosis is the loss of vitamin B6. But if you see the particle size going up or down, or even the cholesterol levels going high, no one's looking at the vitamins, you know, outside of possibly some of the alternative health care. But it's my attitude with testing is that, and I'm known to be the vampire, 47 vials of blood. But the thing is that it is important to see the correlation and look at other variables within it. Because not only the lack of vitamin B6 causes arterial sclerosis and thus increasing your heart disease chances, but it also is a direct correlation with the loss of it and magnesium for carpal tunnel syndrome. But how many people have had operations and still have a problem? I don't know if I lost my guest.
No, I'm here.
You're processing like a computer.
We lose you every now and then.
Yeah, I thought that because I hear silence, and I apologize, audience. But I'm just sitting here chit-chatting, you know. So we'll with my guest, Mr. Morris. But you know, like you opened the show with food, it is important. We recognize organic. We recognize good quality. You want real food. You don't want no pink slime on it and all this other stuff. And I'm finding that more people, even if they're an O-type blood and they need to have some meat, they're eating less meat or that because of the concern, is it real, is it not, or does it have something in it? And looking, because of all the global pollutions, between the radiation, between the spill of the oil in the Gulf, and numerous other things, you know? Have you found that to be true, too?
Yeah, our basic problem is that we treat health as this iceberg, and if you see that image as it rotates by,
right,
and all of the focus of the medical profession is for that part, those parts of it that are sticking above the water. They care about those symptoms. They care about going ahead and making you happy so that you'll pay them their fee. They care about you potentially not progressing to worse disease state. But they don't care in the sense that they're willing to go ahead and encourage people to interact and try to prevent those underlying causes. And the problem with underlying causes, the problem with latent nature of these types of long-term chronic diseases that we have here in the U.S. and around the world is that they are just that. They are long-term chronically developed diseases. And we still go ahead and only look at them when they've manifested to the point where we see these symptoms. And if we can go ahead and re-look at health instead of looking for disease, we can go ahead and we can try to look at these parts underneath the water of that iceberg and be able to see where things are getting are nearing that symptom line. You don't have to cross the symptom line in order for you to be able to see that something is going wrong. And so we put that little health maintenance chart there. This kind of identifies that there are multiple different things that you can look at, from your immune system to your heart to your lungs to cancer to you name it. As we look at and evaluate your change from your normal, there's a lot of scientific information
mm-hmm.
that establishes what direction that's going. So if you go ahead and we identify that you're increasing your salicylic acid content of your glycoproteins, and that what that does is that when as you do that, it changes what the pH of that protein is, and therefore it changes how it migrates in this electrical field, and therefore it changes the image that one would see. And if you are increasing that, there's a lot of statistical evidence that says that that is taking you closer and closer to having cancer.
Right.
So you don't want to have that type of process going on without trying to make a personal interaction for your own personal health maintenance to try to stop that process long before it manifests as that disease.
Right, you want to change something. I know a colleague of mine, and he went to the same school I did, Dr. Quinlan, who is very famous in as a dietitian for cancer patients and that in the Santa Barbara area. And, you know, his whole book and everything was just change your diet, just change something so that your body can let go and start to heal. So it's very important, and especially I think with we're all a composite of different genes, different ethnic backgrounds. We may think we are on this cover German-Lithuanian, but you might have 67 other nations under that flag. But the thing is, if you get a craving like to eat Chinese food, I think it's important to do that, because you may need some nutrient in there like ginger that may be needed in your body to cleanse it. You know, like when you get certain cravings of certain foods.
Yeah, the problem with it's not a problem with the craving, it's a problem with what we have to satisfy the craving.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, people can go ahead and they can crave things. And if they were nutritious, if they ate it, it might make them better. But I think part of our major problem that we have with all of these diseases is the fact that over the past 100 years, our agriculture has been agricultural products have been devitalized. They do not have the nutritional value that we need, especially in our stressful society.
Right.
And
that's over time, meaning the demineralization, et cetera, because you're looking at traditionally that you spray the crop, you collect the seeds, and then that has the contaminant in it, and it keeps going on generation, and you get exposed, but also the absorption, because the fruit is the way for the plant to get rid of its toxins versus absorbing it in if it's continually being sprayed. You know, from the root system.
Mm-hmm.
And dumping, you know, to the fruit.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was hoping they didn't get rid of their toxins that way.
Yeah.
I eat fruit.
That happened after a famous fungicide in Puerto Rico wiped out the avocado industry.
I don't want to hear my fruit as a source of toxins, okay?
Yeah. Well, it's like this. They're the embryo. They're the seed of life for the plant.
Yeah, but the idea is that the embryo is the most precious thing, and therefore in any form of toxicity preservation,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to go ahead and contaminate your embryo.
Hopefully.
As I talked to you about my morphology testing and this looking at the ways that we go ahead and store toxins in our own body.
Right.
Our body goes ahead and looks for places to store toxins that are the least detrimental to our overall longevity.
Right, and I have found...
And so I think that I would hope that plants do the same thing.
Right.
And putting them in my fruit, into my strawberry, is not, or my blueberry, I do not believe is what they do.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of cases on that. But also, back to the seeds, it depends on the seeds. We have monocotyledon and dicots, and God, the Creator, created a way to protect them as compared to animals, being they have a lipid barrier, which is the cell wall before the cell membrane, so that it was given some additional protection, which I feel is to help us in the long run. But it's very changing now, especially with you and I both knowing the fastest way to mutate something is through radiation, and there's been a lot of changes with the massive amounts of radiation that individuals have been getting exposed through industrial accidents like what happened over in Japan. But at the same time, with a lot of individuals getting cancer or getting these chemotherapy agents or that, and the normal process of urination, defecation in the home, these materials are now in the water system or anything. Everybody's screaming about endocrine disruptors, which they've been screaming about that over 10 years or 20 years now, and nothing being done. But at the same time, there's a lot of other pollution factors going on in the world.
These two guys wrote this book, Ray Kurzweil and Terry Grossman.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Fantastic Voyage, Live Long Enough to Live Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And basically throughout this book, they go ahead and they basically show or illustrate how heart disease, cancer, stroke, respiratory disease, kidney disease, liver disease, diabetes, all of things are things that develop. They don't just come out of the blue and say one day you have it and one day you don't. And that they are the end result of a process that takes decades in the making.
Right.
And
even generation susceptibility.
And so now what you have is that represents a tremendous amount of the disease burden that we have here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, the only effective programs are set up for either late-stage intervention or prevention of secondary complications to these diseases. But basically nothing is done.
I don't know.
Because of the people haven't been able to go ahead and have enough knowledge to know what works on a personal level. To go ahead and take and eliminate to eliminate the accumulation of this type of disease. So you, in the standard person, the you look at some of these athletes and you look at these other people that you think, well, they, you know, either they had all the money in the world and they still died.
Right, right.
They had a fantastic health workout type routine and they still died. And you'd think that these people were being monitored by their physicians. And what chance does the average person have of being able to go ahead and avoid that same fate when they have all of the other responsibilities of their own life? And whereas these people that, in theory, had the ability to do whatever they really wanted to do as far as what science could help them with, and they still go ahead and die.
Right.
Prematurely. I mean, we're all going to go ahead and die. But the idea is that you're going to die. They die prematurely.
Right. And usually the contract wasn't up either, too. And it can be as simple as they had, diet drinks that, soft drinks that had ingredients that broke down their system. And even in anything, the amount of pollution that's in the body is proportional to the amount of glutathione you have in your body to protect yourself, to run it through the mechanisms of detoxification, because the majority of pollution loves to go to the fat molecules and is thus fat soluble, and to get it out of the body and go through the liver, it needs to process it to make it water soluble. So that's where you use the glutathione, then it goes to the thiols, the mercaptans, and then it stimulates the suicide gene. And, you know, in that third phase, if it's needed to do, if you're oversaturated with the pollution, so you live or you don't live. The thing is, though, not many physicians or anyone's even looking at your natural glutathione level. We've done many times with, like, even bay leaf, taking 8 bay leaves and putting it into water, boils it, and it generates glutathione and vitamin A. And it's a lovely, refreshing drink. But the thing is, and as you're getting enough glutathione in your body, one of the symptoms of toxicity is having the freckles on your body, because your melanin is stimulated so that it can encapsulate and hold that toxin, whether it's arsenic or other chemicals that come out from the skin. And you know this too when you perspire and you smell different odors coming out, especially in these hot days we've had in the world here. Have you seen that? Meaning, George, you know, with the amount of natural mechanisms within the body.
Well, it's not only the natural mechanisms in the body, but it's the problem. I think the basic problem that we're seeing is that this natural mechanism that the liver functions is being degraded by an onslaught of various environmental and other factors. It's like when if you go ahead and say that the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. is, you know, abnormal people who die from prescribed drugs,
mm-hmm.
and so you have maybe 100,000 people that died. Now that's a pretty severe symptom, and when you listen to them on the TV, you go ahead and say, "But I know that's not happening to me," even though they say that could be one of the choices that might happen. The thing is that let's just say that you're not going to die, but let's just say that it adversely affects your liver, and your liver, if it's adversely affected, cannot function to do all of the things that it needs to do. And what happens is people that are affected in various ways end up getting various diseases because they have different things that are unable to be detoxified. And if you could go ahead and monitor and understand and see the repair of your liver, then you may have enough incentive to go ahead and say that this is something I need to go ahead and concentrate on and monitor more long term, because it affects your ability to go ahead and, as you say, detoxify all of these environmental and self-ingested toxins, intentionally and non-intentionally, that have these adverse effects upon all of your body systems. And I'm a strong believer in even in Chinese energy medicine, Qigong, because they teach you how to try to help to keep your body eliminating those toxins out of your body. How you can go ahead and your one of your goals is to go ahead and keep that flow of good energy in and bad toxins out as one of the functions of what you're trying to go ahead and do.
Right.
And so we need to go ahead and find ways to either to encourage people to look at this. And after they've looked at it, it's like those images that they could be seeing if they're watching it out there on the computer screen. Those images are there to really help people gain incentive to want to make a change. Let's think that nationally, new cancer cases represent about 0.5% of the population per year. So in 2013, that equals about 1.5 million new cases of cancer. And if you go ahead and say that cancer is one of those slowly developing diseases that couldn't take maybe 10 years to go ahead and get to the point where it's manifested as a symptom that's identifiable, you now have 15 million people in some stage of biochemical abnormality
mm-hmm.
that's not identifiable as cancer, but could likely lead to it.
Right.
And for these people, the medical community just waits for that abnormality to progress to a disease state.
Right. And a prime example, George, is years ago when they manufactured, like tennis shoes, meaning canvas shoes, they used to manufacture them over in the Louisiana area. But the rubber industry could not get into compliance with EPA. This was in like 1980s. And they moved the whole operation over to China. So in that standard, back then, there were no regulations or anything of the amount of level of the blend of like the urethanes and the acrylonitriles in the shoes. But if you go into certain stores, you smell that rubber smell, or you go into tires, where you buy tires, you smell that chemical. And that chemical
A car mat.
Yeah, that is very irritant to the nose and burny. That's usually acrylonitrile. And just like you said, it takes one part per million exposure for 10 minutes to get cancer of the lungs or of the liver or any of those other organs that acrylonitrile works 20 years into the future. That's the latency period. But for your nose to smell it, it needs 16 parts per million. So you're already over, to smell it, you're already over 16 times whatever the value is. And it could be even more. But if you didn't take, I'm going to say, antioxidants, or you didn't do things over that 20-year period, you're getting prone to the disease.
Well, and let's think of it this way. We easily have probably 12 and a half million smokers between the ages of 30 and 50 here in the U.S. How many of those people are, you know, have those abnormalities developing that could lead to, you know, COPD or lung cancer?
Correct.
And it's going to take having the symptom, the end result, before they go ahead and they wake up.
Right. And then the wake up, just as, which is normal for anyone, is the panic. What do I do? A lot of people go down a path where they want a quick fix to get it remedied and get rid of it. But at the same time, they haven't built back their body in between, say, conventional treatments or anything, and thus they get weaker from the treatment that they were exposed, you know, had to go through to get rid of the cancer.
That's one of the advantages of that I've looked at as far as the testing that I wanted to go ahead and provide to people, was that there are a lot of good things out there that people can do. People just need to find the one that works for them. And if the pharmaceutical company, you know, if the government used the same rules on the pharmaceutical companies that they use on alternative herbs, you know, we wouldn't have these problems. Right now, they don't, you know, they go ahead and say that, oh, yeah, a pharmaceutical maybe only works on 10 to 15% of the people that it's given to. But because it's working on something that we, you know, don't like, that's good. But then you come along and you say, well, yes, but, you know, coenzyme Q10 helps a lot of people that have cardiovascular disease. And they say, well, did it help every single one of them? If it didn't help 100%, then it wasn't any good. It is such a duality that exists here between promoting something that works on a disease state versus promoting something that keeps people from getting a disease in the first place. And so I go ahead and I want people to become empowered. I want people to become aware that their personal choices in wellness options will directly impact their health. And so a lot of people have, because of the internet, been able to go ahead and start to do research and understand that there are alternatives. But there's no one that's going ahead and providing a scientific way for those alternatives to be evaluated against one another and for the people to know what is actually working for them. What they have to do right now is they have to take and accept the confidence and the advice of whoever it is that's proposing something to them, whether or not it's alternative or whether or not it's traditional. And if you have something like cancer, if you go down a path that doesn't work for too long, you may not have choices to go down other paths at a later point in time.
Right.
So you need to be able to go ahead and identify if something is actually helping you as soon as possible, so that you can either continue the intervention or you can look for something else. And I think those are the people that, even more than the people that want to just make sure that they're not going down a wrong path, that really need to be able to see where they're moving on the continuum, whether or not what they're doing is actually helping them, whether or not they're just staying in that disease state, or whether or not that intervention is actually bringing them back to a better state of health.
Yeah, and we have even seen, you know, when people have take too much supplements, In other words, just too much concentration of anything within their body, especially with certain supplements, that it gets heavily congested within the circulatory system, the blood, and sometimes it's just reducing the amount or taking over a few, not 20 at one time, because the body didn't have the capacity in the liver to, process it.
Mm-hmm. We've just become obsessed with battling disease and not winning the war and supporting wellness. And wellness is not something that you have to beat over with a sledgehammer. Wellness is something that your body is able to go ahead and do if you're doing the right things. And we just have to go ahead and believe it or not, there are a lot of people out there. I look at books. I look at things on the internet. And there are people that actually have, good choices. But because of this thing that we call biochemical individuality, which means that we're not all the same, as Hildy says, your enzyme, you may have an enzyme that works efficiently and versus someone else that has an enzyme that doesn't work efficiently, and so you're not absorbing certain nutrients and you're not able to do this and you're not able to do that. You need to go ahead and whatever intervention that you choose to do, you need to be able to go ahead and track its ability to do what you want it to do.
Right, and I'll give you a prime example.
That's why
look at our
Native
American
that, probiotics are the number one selling health
even 100 years ago
product.
When they were introduced
to
alcohol.
They go ahead and they take a probiotic and they go
yes,
ahead and they
but
feel
they became
better.
Drunk very fast. And that's because they had less alcohol dehydrogenase enzyme that they couldn't process the alcohol. It just absorbed, in the body and just basically made you drunk on two drinks or one sip because their body couldn't take care of it versus they have physiologically a better lung capacity over 100%. It could be even sometimes I've measured 120, 140% lung capacity as compared to Caucasians years ago is because they were runners. They did more physical activity than many of the other races in the nationality. So what I'm saying is you have diversification within a group, but at the same time, if you took an antidote of the alcohol dehydrogenase, then you wouldn't get drunk when you drank. And the number look at a stomach cancer or esophageal cancer. Stomach cancer used to be predominant in individuals that drank alcoholic beverages. That could be wine, hard liquor, any of this thing, versus not so much in the beer category because of the yeast and everything involved in that. They had some natural flora in there. But the majority of stomach cancer and esophageal is the loss of vitamin B1. How many that are alcoholics or have had a battle with alcohol even replaced vitamin B1 over their lifetime? It's real cheap. It's only like $2.99. And also like vitamin B2, rather, which is the vitamin within the cell that carries the oxygen and couples it so it carries the oxygen through all the different mechanisms in the cell structures of the organelles within the cell so that it doesn't make the superoxides, et cetera. But, you can get that in your foods, and at the same time, sometimes you do need to take an extra vitamin concentration to help reboost the body that way. And it's really time, I feel, that when you take a responsibility for your own health, you really start looking at some of the classic books that are in nutritional health and other related, exposures, even some of the industrial hygiene exposure books, et cetera, so that you can get a knowledge of it and apply it to yourself and then seek out the experts or the ones with more knowledge than you in that field so you can field good answers or good questions. Hold that thought, George. We're coming up onto the hour. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to join Mr. George Morris for our second hour and our topic of Choose Health Now. Breaking up on my end, so I thought we were back on the air. So welcome back to the second hour with my guest, Mr. George Morris, and we're continuing our conversation, and please, audience, call in if you have any questions. Our phone number is 602-753-1636.
We've been
and
talking
we
a little
left
bit
with
about
what, Choose Health Now.
Why
and we were
need to have some person.
Go ahead, George.
You know, the people need to go ahead and help control their destiny. They're not just the subject to their genes. They're not the subject to the whims of the community around them, but they're able to go ahead and be an active participant. And so what we want to do is we want to provide people with the ability to link their actions to either the harm or benefit they're causing themselves or their loved ones. And it's like this lack of a way to go ahead and of a biochemical test, not something that is unapproved, but an actual clinical biochemical test to provide the client a personal health yardstick. Is something that I've worked on and has been a primary roadblock to the improved health and use of natural cures. And so when we time, and so it does go ahead and require that you have an initial test, and Dr. Hilde called it a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do a second test after you've done some type of intervention that you expect to have made a change. And then with that second test, you're able to go ahead and look at processes and see how the health on that health continuum scale has changed. And if you're doing an intervention and you were in a disease state and you do an intervention and it improves your profile, then you'll see that that benefited you. If you happen to be doing your first background baseline, and you
calluses on their feet, and they think, okay, it's from walking on hard floors or dirt or anything. But if you look into your history, maybe you had a lot of chemical exposure, and that can be the result of the aldehydes building up in your body and dumping to your lower extremities. And in this, when you use like foot baths and your feet become nice and soft, but the chemicals are coming out of the body, and you're losing your calluses, it can be measured that way, you know, like in the water or anything. But at the same time, if you were looking at your feet and they were swollen, like we explained with lymph nodes getting swollen or anything, and the feet swelling, if you did a foot bath, you could, before you even did the foot bath, just measure the ankle or take a measurement of the ball of the foot, and to see how much has changed, even if it's a quarter of an inch or anything in change. You'll feel that change. It's some tool to measure to get your baseline of who you are. Now, George, with many of the, we know with the comprehensive chemicals that are out there in the environment and everything like that, have you seen, because there's many of the studies that are coming out where you could be exposed to your chemicals and everything, but then when you get types of surveys, not you as the professional, but our listening audience, of what you're exposed to, make a history or a timeline of your exposure and what other variables that may be, that can make, like, mycotoxins work more, mold grow more.
Yeah, like I said at the beginning, being a scientist and a clinical researcher, in looking at change, it doesn't really matter what the source of change is. Good changes can come from diet. Good changes can come from nutritional products. Good changes can come from change in attitude. Good changes even can come from this prayer or yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Negative changes can come from any number of unknown entities that provide a negative change. As I look at the data, but as you're, because you go ahead and you work with patients and you work with people, you're much more interested in what was the cause. But in the work that I do, I don't see the cause. What I see is I look for the result. if hopefully for something that is, you know, eliminating something negative, and I look for the result of improved health if people are doing things that are trying to go ahead and make things better. But if you go ahead and you you don't want to get too much information about the client, because then you know researchers have a tendency to go ahead and skew results based upon the knowledge that they have, and so you're not really looking at I really dislike these tests that people go ahead and they find on the internet for some genetic stuff, genomic stuff, or other tests, and they go ahead and they ask people for their complete medical history. They ask them for what foods that they've been eating, And then you say, we're going to go ahead and also do this test. Well, if your test could give you good results, you didn't need that other information. You're trying to go ahead and modify the information that you have based upon it's like you could give the people the same information if you didn't do the test, but you only did the surveys. My information, it is independent of any information I have of the client, other than the fact that what we have is we have that two separate samples separated by time that we're able to go ahead and compare that. That's the one area of this wellness and health science that there's really nobody out there supporting. If anyone can come up and show me another test that is trying to go ahead and provide people really valid information that can stand on its own, call in and let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far everything I've seen, you get into looking at the disclaimers on the test and you look at all of these things, and some of them get to the point where they go ahead and say, well, even if we are recommending things, it's good stuff for them. So what's it matter if our test was right or wrong? I mean, to me, that's not a test. You can go ahead and you can flip a coin and you can be right just as often. A test is like when I go ahead and I test something and I do a comparison and I have three choices that I can see. I can either see that no change has happened, which is still a result of the test, or you can see that there's been a change and that change is indicative of something good or indicative of something bad based on the algorithm that we've developed for analyzing the test. But all three of those are independent results that are just the result based on your knowledge of the data, not whether or not it was a man, whether or not it was a woman, whether or not their age, none of that makes any difference, because you're using the person as their control. And yes, that's what I'm saying.
Right, and if you want
to take that personal responsibility for your health, then that's something that you can do.
Right, and as you get healthier and take that responsibility, I've said it over and over, you radiate, you get come into super light, as Dr. Malinsky says, and you will look younger, you will feel younger, you will experience that. But I have seen, before that occurs into this, as I call it, the super light realm, you not only get rid of the toxin, but you have to balance the organ systems that are used to having the toxins there, get their polarities right and everything, because everything works on energy. And at the same time, when that happens, then the whole temple is aligned so that crystals within you can shine.
I think that's the definition of health.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have to have a goal once you get past health, you want to go to heaven.
That is our goal. Our goal is that when the thing is that so many people have looked at health and they've looked at it based upon that one chart there that goes ahead and says this is the symptom line, this is death, and this is perfect health. And only when they go ahead and go over the symptom line do they ever think of health. And as soon as they've gone ahead and they've done something that takes it so they don't feel the symptom anymore, they go ahead and say, "Oh, I'm fine now." And that's how latent disease manifests. Latent disease manifests up to that symptom line much harder. And so if your goal is for that vibrant, healthy life, you want to try to go ahead and keep as close to it as you can. Just think of the poor guy that's going ahead and he's flying his plane and he's got all these passengers on board and he's supposed to go from New York to London. And you would think, well, he can just go ahead and he can just fly east and he'll get there. But who is your path is to stay healthy and to be vibrant, then what you want to do is you want to stay on that path. And when you find yourself falling off from it, you want to get back on it. And if you look at the poor list of diseases that we have, that I don't think I put this one up on. I didn't put this image up. I don't think it was an image of preventable causes of death, and it basically. Oh, man. It's just a horrible image that there are so many people that die from things that are preventable. What was it? The Llewellyn Group. And that's kind of like health think tank, and they report to Congress and they report to various groups. And they went ahead and said that if we could just eliminate these preventable causes of death, we could save $1 trillion a year in health care costs. That, when we talk about going ahead and modifying the health care system, it's like all of the effort that we put forth is all basically still just trying to funnel the same amongst the 6 months or year of life.
Mm-hmm. And
that's backwards.
And it's like in many industries, in particular aerospace, which had at the time that I was working in it, high amounts of nitrosamines in it, nitrous oxides. So after you retired, many people would get brain tumors or die of cancer or that. So it's like within 3 months after your retirement, you were getting diagnosed with this disease because you're no longer getting hit with the chemical. Thus, your body's trying to get rid of it, and it's losing the battle because it doesn't have the nutrients there to help balance it and correct it. So it's like you've said, George, throughout this show, that it's time to take your responsibility now for your own health and not be dependent on anybody except yourself. Get the experts that you need, get the physician you need, and I found it always very helpful they don't have to be exactly like yourself, but if you, meaning your physicians or your healthcare providers, have some of the same beliefs and the same knowledge that can be expanded from it so that it can better assess what's going on with your body.
Yeah, for some reason we just don't have anybody calling in that wants to that address, I can respond to you. But we do want to find ways to spread this message more, make it so that more people can find a way to actually do that personal health maintenance, that they find that even though they've maybe had these bad habits that have caused these preventable causes of disease, that there are ways that we can support their determination to make change. That it is not, we're not destined to go ahead and continue this the way that we've been going on. that there has to be a way for us to change. And I think that that change is going to come from individuals. It's not coming from the government. It's definitely not coming from the biotech industry. It's not going to come from people that are focused on this modifying your you know, trying to maintain or modify your health when you get sick. It's got to come from those people that are most interested in staying healthy. And the people that have the financial interest in that, that have the, so that the economics works out, are personal human beings. They're not groups, but they're people. And people that want to go ahead and take control of their own health, people that want to go ahead and have better health alternatives. Way too many people that end up having diseases when they go to the hospital that they didn't need to have. Too many people that end up having prescription drug problems that they don't need to have. And the reason that they have all of these things is because there's no monitoring going on. I mean, I did talk to the FDA back years ago, and I told them, what, but even at the state that they were at in 1974, they're still better than anything they're doing now. So the government and the biotech have their own philosophy of what's in the best interest of the public or what's in the best interest of the patient. And it does not jive with mine. And so we want to try to find a way to provide to people that choice that they can make to be able to go ahead and take better control of their own health. And I know Hildy is involved in different types of laboratory testing, but most of that testing is on that farther end. I mean, she doesn't have people that are well coming
right
to her and saying, oh, please go ahead and do all these tests on me, because
I love it when they had measles and their titer was 1 to 130, 320 rather, which is extremely high titer, and then it's down to non-detected. I just love those titers like that. It's showing something's working.
Yeah, I have a smallpox vaccination that I got when I was a really young kid, like most people. And this from various forms of detoxification that I do, I can see that imprint where it was, it
makes that colloidal
this
scab.
Disappearing. This disappearing. And same way that you can go ahead and you can have liver spots and you can see liver spots disappear. Don't act preventively. They grudgingly go ahead and try to help people later on. And as another example, the 9/11 workers in New York, so many of them took long time to develop things, but they, so many of them developed, lung problems, other types of problems, and then they, have such a difficult time trying to go ahead and convince people to link it back to the fact that they were working on these buildings that collapsed, and they just don't get the support that they need. And so these types of catastrophic things are clearly places where people need to go ahead and get baselines and then be able to go ahead and show if their health is degrading over time. And no one, to my knowledge, is offering the type of baseline that we could provide. So
right.
We use Continuum and we look at what's happening. And so, therefore, we developed an algorithm to extract additional information. And we provide that back to the client as an individualized report for them. And hopefully it'll go ahead and show measurable improvement in their health. And for those that are doing an early baseline, it may show that they're right versus the number of being repaired. And that information is the type of information that can help people have an incentive to say, maybe that process was good for me. Maybe I should continue to take this. Or if you're going in the wrong direction, maybe I should cut down on negative preventable cause. And there are many of them, and so people know what potentially is harming them. There's enough research that says that even if you think that you're not harming your children when you smoke, you are. Just by attitude, if not just by the carcinogens, just by the attitude that they see that you smoke, and therefore their likelihood of smoking goes up. And therefore, you have created another problem for another person that didn't have to have one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am anti-smoking. I am anti a couple of things. But I understand that people haven't had adequate information to have a clear understanding of what the situation is. Whereas if we can go ahead and provide them a laboratory test, And show them that, say, their salicylic acid percentage is increasing, and their likelihood of having lung cancer is going up drastically, they may go ahead and say, "Hey, I need to change." And if there was something that they couldn't help, the end result was the person would die, and they wouldn't go ahead and continue to be in the community. And what we've done is we've gone ahead and we've focused on trying to eliminate all those people that could potentially die, but we haven't focused on maintaining the health of the community. And so we go ahead and unintentionally we've gone ahead and increased the percentage of people that need help. And you just can't do that and not cause long-term problems for your society. So we want to go ahead and just give people an opportunity. Basically, the laboratory testing, as I say, is done by clinical laboratories, but because we don't meet the clinical need requirement for insurance reimbursement, they're not covered by insurance, so clients would have to pay for the tests themselves. We're looking at marketing through what we call direct access testing, and that's where the patient can go ahead, an individual person can request a laboratory test to be done, have an idea of what it takes to help people make this choice toward personal health maintenance, toward what we call choose health now, so that we can try to go ahead and expand our influence to a larger audience. I appreciate that I have this offer in Mexico City, or whether or not it's just people haven't the opportunity right now to call in. But if there's anyone that does want to go ahead, I believe there's a way to leave messages on Dr. Hilde's site. There's also, you can leave messages at my website at nutritionmonitoring.info. And eventually you'll be, and you'll have links to PDFs and other things on those sites. Hilde?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
Do you know? I'm not exactly sure what how we can get people to become
respond?
To respond, to become active. I know they'll go it'll go up on the archive. People will be able to look at it. Hopefully they'll the whole idea of the rotating images was to help people to say, I grok that. I understand. Even without a whole bunch of words, that there's something that either I need to do, or something that I can do, or something that I should do. Quote to clients directly. Do not have to have referrals through physicians. And have samples sent or collected directly by the clinical lab.
Right, and that helps out a lot. Also, I've had a lot of individuals that were targeted individuals, kidnapped, et cetera. It's a long story. But I will say that they're 20, 30 years, but it's nice to monitor that you don't have your polio titers are going down. So if you have the contamination with the simian virus or any of that, it would reduce the factors of the synergistic effect of like that element, that compound.
I've thought about the people that go ahead and do home insect type treatment, pesticides, and that go ahead and treat homes, and I would think that they would, they would be at a high probability of having toxicity problems, and that they might be a really easy target to show the effectiveness of an intervention, say such as milk thistle or such as an herb or some type of nutritional product or even far infrared.
Right.
But the group would be able to go, it's just like when they the pharmaceutical people do it. They go ahead and they take and find, and basically, if you are looking to go ahead and show the effectiveness of an herbal product, you need to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You find a group of people that, on the whole, are expected to have be abnormally affected by their work or by their environment, and then go ahead and but the groups themselves, aren't interested, but it's personal human beings, I think, that will be interested.
Right, and I want to bring out, recently they had a recall, I'm going to say about 6 months ago, of many individuals have hip replacements, and in particular this one was made out of chromium, chromate, and it had a radiation in it. So many of the doctors out here were monitoring for chromium and also, I think it was cesium, but don't hold me to that, the radioactive nucleotide. But the thing is, the tests that we're discussing, what they would do in that situation is replace that bad hip replacement device with the new plastic one, so it got rid of the source. But there is an accumulation of that material in the body because they were using blood tests to find out if you were exposed or not, or had
mm-hmm.
exposure. So if you're using blood tests, you know that new blood is 7 to 10 days. So if you have any kind of value or elevated value, is definitely built into your tissue. There's some noise here. So that it's accumulative there, so that as you are getting this hip replacement removed and detoxing.
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, because that happened. And now even look at the mesh that they used for, hernias and that type, it's now on recall. And that was made out of the polyurethanes and the high-density polyethylene. So definitely you need to monitor your health that way so that you can get normal. But again, audience, that's back to a problem or a disease. And George has been stressing over my professional career with him, and that many decades, that you need to take the responsibility of your own health and do something to change what's the mechanisms that are going in your body.
A recap, you know. What we're talking about is what we call a personal health maintenance profile. And you can go ahead and you can have various laboratory tests done. They're all done on a blood sample, a small one, very, very small. And what those various profiles do is they go ahead and they allow you to see change over time. And whereas Hildy talks about cholinesterase, and that is an enzyme, and your activity of it, it's like that's related quite often to your genetic makeup. And so they can go ahead and they can look at that and they can say, oh, yes, yours is not as high as someone, it's what we think is normal. Well, here what we're doing, instead of looking at something that we consider to be normal, we're looking at a previous sample from you, so that the data is not linked to some normal reference range, it's linked to you. And then we're able to go ahead and compare multiple things, whether or not there's something that is linked to cancer, or whether or not it's something linked to your lungs, or something linked to your liver, or something linked to your stomach, or there's something linked to your immune system. There are these various clinical tests that are done that we can then go ahead and use you as that normal reference range to look at the significance of that data. And if you're looking to stay healthy, that's the type of information that can provide you with valuable information to help you affect personal change, personal attitude adjustment. And by providing you information on that early part of that health continuum, then you can take responsibility for supporting it. It's not going to be, you know, the pharmaceutical company's not going to come along and say, oh, yes, if you go ahead and do this, you're going to go ahead and you're going to get closer to wellness. They just aren't going to do that. And what you have to, because one, they don't want to track it. They don't want to know it. And so if you go ahead and you get that information yourself, then you go ahead and you do your own personal discovery process to figure out, to improve your awareness of what options you have. And then you can be empowered to be able to go ahead and make your own wealth as the concept of choose health now and preventative health maintenance. And these can help you go ahead and maintain your vitality. One sub-program might be called Vitality Trend Analysis. Another one could be called, you hate to call it that, but it'd be like cancer progression. There are many things that can happen that have not gained political or medical or organizational support, and you need to go ahead and take advantage of those things if you want to go ahead and maintain your health.
And be committed to it, because the thing is, not only after you get your health in order, you're going to go through beautification, right, George? You're going to look younger and feel great. So you will see the results in the mirror as you progress. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, cellulite is malformed fat that usually is the result of the toxins accumulating in other areas of your body or your muscles, and the fat is sent there to bind it so that it won't do harm to the nerve channels or to those other organ parts. So as you audience, may God bless you, and have a wonderful week, and I hope you can stay cool in air conditioning or use a lot of fan paper to stay cool, as it's hot on this West Coast, okay?
Okay, thank you, Hildy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.